Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome to Authors Beyond Words. I'm Richard Cohn, your host. I'm the publisher of Beyond Words Publishing, and we're live on HealthyLife.net. I have the pleasure today to introduce you to a very wonderful author. His name is John Murphy, and if I can read just a little bit about his background, I think you're going to be as impressed as we were when we learned about John and had the pleasure of publishing him. So John is the founder and CEO of Venture Management Consultants, Inc., which is a firm that specializes in creating lean, high-performance work environments. As a business consultant, John has worked with some of the world's leading organizations, including ADP, BMW, Chase, the Michigan State Senate, the CIA, and the U.S. Navy. He is the author of more than 19 books, including the wonderful book that we published with him, Miracle Minded Manager, and he has trained thousands of people from more than 50 countries. He resides in Palm Beach, Florida, and John, it's very wonderful that you could join us today, and look forward to our audience learning a lot about what you teach and how effective it is.
Well, thank you, Richard. It's great to be here. I love doing what I can to help people.
Well, as a business consultant, clearly you've worked with some of the most impressive companies across the globe, sharing your knowledge and your expertise. And you've also shared what is from A Course in Miracles. And for our listening audience who may be unfamiliar with this, can you tell us more about this spiritual thought system?
Sure, absolutely. So A Course in Miracles is actually a book and a course that was published in 1976 by the Foundation for Inner Peace. So the book and the course were actually scribed by a woman named Helen Schuckman, who is a professor of medical psychology at Columbia University in New York. And the scribing process, which Helen calls, quote, inner dictation, end quote, that took place over a seven-year period, actually, from 1965 to 1972. And she said she scribed it word for word. Essentially, the course is believed to be a direct channeling of Jesus, which is interesting because Helen was an agnostic Jewish scientist. So it was quite shocking that she begins to hear this voice, so to speak. In fact, so shocking, she was afraid. And she confided in a colleague of hers, Bill Petzford, and Bill said, well, what's the voice saying? And she was so resistant. She's like, well, I don't know. I keep trying to block it out. And he said, well, take notes. Write it down. I'll help you decipher it, you know, interpret it. Just stop resisting, basically. So the course developed over that period, and it consists of three different sections. There's a text, which is pretty deep and almost difficult to really get your head around. The whole course is a complete mind shift. And then there's a workbook for students and a manual for teachers. Those are the three sections. And the workbook for students is actually 365 lessons. Maybe you've heard that number, 365, before, which is one per day. So there's essentially a lesson or a mantra with some explanation that the student is encouraged to actually practice throughout the day. And what's really going on here is that there's a reprogramming of the mind with it. So it's a very different thought system that we can talk more about, from the thought system that we all grow up with, which is the ego thought system, essentially. And the underlying premise of the Course is that the greatest miracle is the act of simply gaining full awareness of love's presence in a person's life. It's awakening to this field of love, capital L, unconditional love, that gives us life. It's our life source, if you will. And so put another way, it's a shift in thinking. A Course in Miracles describes it as a correction of the mind. And in practical terms, this essentially means a shift from the ego mindset or the ego thinking to spiritual recognition, recognizing the spirit in one another and the connection that we all have.
Wow. Well, that is... I'm a little familiar with A Course in Miracles, and I think we published a book by Dr. Jerry Jampolsky called Forgiveness, the Greatest Healer of All, and another book called Teach Only Love. And in both of those, I think he draws from A Course in Miracles.
Oh, yeah, quite a few books. Dr. Tolle is probably, The Power of Now is one of the most famous books, if you will, that reference A Course in Miracles. Dr. David Hawkins, the late David Hawkins, wrote a number of books. In fact, he was a huge influence on me, Power versus Force, and you know, Truth versus Falsehood, referencing A Course in Miracles significantly. Marianne Williamson wrote all kinds of things about A Course in Miracles. Wayne Dyer, Deepak Chopra. So, you know, it's something I was very intrigued with as a lifelong learner and self-help junkie, so to speak.
Well, you know, in your work as a consultant in business, in your book, Miracle Minded Manager, in the beginning of the book, you talk about how what you do is to teach leaders how to pull people together as a team, develop effective strategies, improve performance, and boost results. And how has A Course in Miracles been a part of your work as a business consultant and motivational speaker?
Sure, Richard. Well, you can imagine as a consultant going into working with executive teams of very large companies, military leaders, things like that, and bringing about transformational change, I mean, significant culture change in these organizations. It can be a little daunting. You know, I'm working with literal rocket scientists and, you know, physicists and nuclear engineers, and, I mean, leaders of Fortune 100 companies. So it's a little daunting going into these. So for one, the course has helped me eliminate a tremendous amount of stress and doubt in my life. And notice that I say eliminate, not reduce. So we have so many strategies for managing stress these days. You know, go to the gym, put your head down and work harder. You'll get through this. Just deal with it. Maybe see a therapist or a coach, or go to the pub, you know, have a glass of beer or wine. There's all these different management, stress management, you know, strategies. And they may help in the short run, maybe like an aspirin for a headache. But I like to say, why manage something you can eliminate? Or why solve problems inside a paradigm or a box when it's the box that's the problem? It's the whole mindset that's the problem. So rather than moving chairs around on the Titanic, why don't we actually do something about the iceberg? And so A Course in Miracles has helped me essentially get out of my own way by transcending a paradigm of fear and doubt and disbelief, anxiety and tension, which is all self-induced. It's helped me to approach my work with more enthusiasm, more poise, more confidence, more trust in success. We're going to be successful. And it's inspired me to write 10 more books, several in the spiritual genre, outside the business box, because I've been writing business books for a long time, and then integrating these ancient spiritual, you know, wisdom practices into modern-day management practices. So really integrating spirit and science and business, which a lot of people don't really think go together. And that's exactly what I do in Miracle Minded Manager. And then financially, you know, it's helped me more than quintuple my revenues without adding any additional resources. So it's paid off quite well financially, just getting past that whole fear-based mindset. So, and I also just add, Richard, that it's helped me immensely in my life with some very difficult and painful experiences.
Are you willing to share a little bit about what those were?
I thought you might ask that. Well, for one, Richard, I was married for 26 years, four wonderful children. I now have three grandchildren. And, you know, my wife was of 26 years. This was back right when I was first taking the course, decided she wanted to go another way. And just broke my heart. And the course really helped me through that and led to some of my most profound work. So often, you know, I learned that one of the ways we let go of the ego thought system is through pain and suffering, to the point where we just throw our hands up in the air and say, God help me. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle this. So that's one. And another, right about the same time, Richard, because I was first introduced to the course in like 2008, 2009. And, of course, if you remember those dates, we were in the greatest recession of our lifetime.
Yes.
And in the business consulting world, that meant contracts, you know, not just reduced, but ending. So all of a sudden, you know, companies are cutting training, they're cutting consulting, just cutting back wherever they could. And so I went through a very difficult dry spell, if you will, with my business. And so, again, having the faith it would have bounced back, I lost a significant amount of money during that recession. And it was stressful. But with that faith over fear, I had this attitude, well, I'll make it back. And then some. I'm not going to let this stress me out or you know, make me afraid. And I don't know that before the course I would have been able to do that. But I think, you know, just like everybody else, I would have just, I don't know what I'd do. But I'd certainly be stressed. And this just allowed me to stay really focused on my purpose. It's when I started to write more. And came out with some, in 2010, I wrote a book called Beyond Doubt, Four Steps to Inner Peace, which was awarded the Best Inspirational Book of the Year by All Books Review in Toronto, Canada. And by the way, I channeled that book. After 9 years of not writing a book because I was halfway through one when my father got sick and passed, I just stopped writing for 9 years. And all of a sudden, I'm working over in France. I'm doing a week-long event, followed by a week-long event up in England. So I had a weekend in between. And I don't know, normally I'd get up and I'd go see cathedrals, and I'd practice my French a little bit, get some cafe. But on a Saturday morning, a voice came to me, a presence, an energy. I can't really describe it. Well, maybe it was my dad at first. And that voice said, it's time to start writing again, John. And I hadn't even given it any thought, Richard. I had no idea. I had no book in mind. I was busy at that time. I was, and this, by the way, was before my divorce and before the real recession hit. And so things were great. And I had all these excuses to resist, I suppose, like Alan Shuckman. Anyway, it wouldn't leave me alone. So I finally opened up my laptop on that Saturday morning and said, you want me to write something? You tell me what to write. I wrote all weekend. And out came Beyond Doubt, Four Steps to Inner Peace, which was later used, I found out, by Toyota to train some of their senseis, some of their masters, which kind of blew my mind. So what I thought was a spiritual book, which is a complete shift for me, turned out to actually be a leadership development book. How do we lead with more grace and inner peace? Which I then take into Miracle Minded Manager, as you know, because the main character there, Jack McDonald, learns to do this. And it has just a massive impact on his life. So that's a long answer to the question, but I went through some rough times. And what I learned is that the course in my own writing, my own channeling, that was beyond doubt, took me into a whole different world of belief and transformation.
So for our listeners, if they've come to a place where maybe they feel like they've hit bottom and they don't know what to do next, it sounds like you actually reinvented yourself and created a whole new path for yourself. And were there certain things that you did to allow yourself to move forward, awakening, as you said, to unconditional love, and your heart had been broken and gone through the pain and suffering? It sounds like God helped you.
Oh, no question about it, Richard. In fact, it's funny you use the term reinvent yourself, because that was the third book I ever wrote. It's called Reinvent Yourself. And it's actually, there's a relationship between the story and Reinvent Yourself and the story and Miracle Minded Manager. That's another topic. But yes, I what I learned, Richard, is that the will, the human will, which is ego, is fear-based and dualistic. And it's what, when we're attached to it, to that mindset, that thought system, we end up afraid. And when we transition from that, we realize we have more power than we could possibly imagine. It's not inside us, it's all around us. And by learning to channel it in a positive direction, things just open up. The world's so full of opportunity all around us all the time, that we tend to shut ourselves off from that. That's why I said earlier I had to get out of my own way. I mean, I had to learn to open myself, open my mind, get past that fear-based, dualistic ego, right, wrong, us, down thought system, and approach life with just more spirit. And when we are in spirit, i.e. inspired, we're not afraid of anything. It's just this incredible feeling of passion, and then it's just a matter of directing it. Where am I going to aim this energy? So we've got all this energy available to us. What am I going to aim it at? And during that recession, when I simply didn't have contracts with clients to go in and teach and consult, I aimed it into my writing. Other people might aim it into any number of things. But we channel that energy into something helpful to the world. It's very important that we realize we're here to help the world, not just ourselves. The ego is all about itself. What can I do to make more money myself? What can I do to get a promotion in my job? What can I do to protect myself and my family? Which, the family part of the world, of course. What can I do to the benefit of other people? Because the more I can benefit other people, if you understand law of attraction and karma and things like that, universal laws, the more I help others, the more I'm helped. The more I give away, the more I receive. It's a real paradigm shift. It's a paradox. And the ego thinks, well, if I give it away, then I won't have it. You know? So I got to cling to it. I have to, you know, attach to it. Problem is anything we attach to, we then live in perpetual fear of losing. So we're, you know, so much of our fear is subconscious, because I'm not afraid. Come on, I'm not afraid. But deep down, buried in ourselves, yes, you are. People are afraid to lose anything they value. So when we learn to, that doesn't mean you don't care about the things you value. Of course you care about them and you love them. But you're not attaching your happiness to anything external, to anything you have no control over, because then you live in fear. So when you detach, which is, of course, a major Buddhist principle, when you detach from things, you live with more freedom and without fear. And then all of a sudden, more freedom and more fearlessness come to you, and life just opens up in miraculous ways.
It's interesting when you said that opportunity is around us all the time. I remember my wife saying that to me. She said, opportunities are like garage sales. There's one around every corner. You just have to stop, take a look, and see if it's something that fits for you in life. And I think it's very true that that when we try to hold on to anything, we're limiting ourselves from our ability to bring into our experience and into our lives those kinds of opportunities.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, Richard. And what happens then is we shut down our creativity. We're all creative beings. We have the capacity to create. And so the more we open up our minds, the more these creative ideas just come to us. It, you know, it's also an entrepreneurial spirit, and I've been an entrepreneur since I was a kid. I started several businesses by the time I was 18. I helped my older brother pay his, and my father pay my older brother's first year of tuition in college, helped my older sister buy her first car. And I was just this kid with money. Because if I had an asset, I could make money. I had a rake, a snow shovel, my own talent, my hands. I was a gardener. I started a whole gardening business. In landscaping, I had 40 customers. And so, a lawnmower. People, if you just think about your talents, your assets, put them to use, you can generate. By being generous, we generate all kinds of abundance.
Everyone loves Oracle cards. They make great gifts for you or anyone, and I know where you can get the best ones. BeyondWord.com. These decks are created by top visionaries with beautiful, unique, original artwork. With over 20 beautiful card decks and easy-to-understand guidebooks from angels to spirit animals, there is certainly one deck or more that calls out to you. These visionary decks are fun, filled with wisdom, and can give you insight. So visit BeyondWord.com. Go to Products, Type, and click on Cards. It's so much fun. Do it now. BeyondWord.com.
Picture this. It's Saturday night, and you want to watch a film. Not one of those violent blood and guts film, but one that makes you feel good or become spiritually aware or gives you information in a thought-provoking way. That's when you visit Beyond Words Publishing. They have these films. Get videos on demand, buy DVDs, or even get information on how to host a movie screening for your community. Visit BeyondWord.com and explore their videos and their new release, Cat People. Saturday night just got better. BeyondWord.com.
Get a second chance at life at any age. Turn your life around to be happy, successful, and fulfilled. It's an easy step-by-step process with Michael Clinton's new book, Roar Into the Second Half of Your Life. Reimagine yourself, own who you are, act on what's next, and reassess relationships. All to roar into the second half of your life, which is the name of the book. Get your copy of Roar Into the Second Half of Your Life by Michael Clinton at BeyondWord.com, Amazon.com, or order it from any bookstore. Go ahead and roar. You deserve it. Remember this name, Beyond Words Publishing. If you remember the best-selling book, The Secret, then you already know Beyond Words Publishing. For the last 36 years, they've been publishing the best metaphysical, spiritual, and self-help material. So here's the real secret. You always get the best books, audio, and film direct from Beyond Words Publishing. Visit their website, BeyondWord.com, or call 503-531-8700. They'll accept all major credit cards and PayPal. So visit BeyondWord.com.
Uplifting Talk, HealthyLife.net.
John, when you were talking about creativity and talents and abundance, I think most people probably discount that in their lives and don't even realize what they have that they could take out and do what you have talked about, which is to help the world.
Yeah, well, you know what, and I don't mean this to sound insulting for sure, but that's like using half your brain. Because if you know anything about the human brain, you know, there's a right side and a left side, so to speak. And you know, the idea here is balance, Richard, and everybody dreams, you know, and that's exercising your right brain, your intuition, your creativity, and whether it's daydreaming or night dreaming. And everybody has some degree of imagination, vision. We can see a different world in front of us. So that then challenges us to think, well, what do you see? Do you see a light, positive, joyful, enthusiastic world? Are you eager for tomorrow? Or do you dread it? Are you thinking, oh, here we go again? And the left side of the brain, of course, is irrational, fact-based, you know, specific problem solving. And so the idea is to exercise both sides of your brain. We don't want to just be dreamers without, you know, taking responsibility and action. And we don't want to be so stuck in the weeds, facts and details and specifics that we don't dream. And so when you just sort of step back, again, I call it getting out of your own way, and you allow your imagination to run wild a little bit. You know, I spend a lot of time in meditation. I'm a huge believer in meditation. I teach a couple different methods in A Course in Miracles. And to just take a time out to exercise your right brain, exercise your intuition, allow yourself to imagine, and challenge yourself to think positive, because there's no problem on the planet without a solution. There's two sides to the same point, you know, and everything is in perfect balance. But, you know, a miracle-minded manager teaches this to Jack. Everything in the universe is in perfect balance. And the reason for that is it gives us contrast and context, because if we didn't know, if we didn't have down, we couldn't know what up is. If we didn't have dark, we couldn't know what light is. So we have to have both. If we didn't have problems, we couldn't understand solutions. So the idea is, how do you approach your life? How do you approach the day? Are you thinking about all the problems in the world? Are you tuned into the news listening to, you know, horrific things going on in the world that you have zero control over? Or are you thinking about the positive impact you could make on the day? Imagine if everybody in the world did that, you know. And even when you see a disaster, whether it's a natural disaster or it's a terrorist act, notice how many people come to the rescue, so to speak. People just show up to help out their neighbors and to do what they can. That's the miracle. So there's no such thing as up without down. And the Course teaches us to shift from a very negative approach to life, which is quite common. It's all around us. We're inundated with it, quite honestly, all the things wrong in the world. And we're inundated in a very competitive world, a world of rankings. It's in sports. It's in the education system. It's about comparison. How do I compare to others? Now with social media, I mean, geez, how many likes did I get on something I said? People are addicted, and the reason they're addicted is because they're insecure. And the only way I can feel valuable is by ranking higher. You know, so how do I rank? That's all the ego talking. That's the false self, and it's what blocks us from our true capital S self, our spiritual self, our soul, which just thrives on growth and opportunity and positivity and enjoyment. It's like the soul is so happy to be here on this planet in human form. We ought to just let it run.
It's amazing how so many people do what you just were talking about, which is when they look out at the day, when they're getting up in the morning, they think, you know, oh boy, I got to do all these things. I've got to go to work, and it's going to be traffic, and I'll be possibly late, and that's going to upset my boss. And what you're talking about, it seems to me, is helping to incorporate and inculcate in yourself a positive mindset. so that when you approach the day, when you approach life, you're doing so from a whole different place that is not fear-based, but is, and not ego-based.
Exactly, and it has to be genuine, Richard. You cannot fool the universe. You can't fake it. You know, we have these silly sayings like fake it till you make it. That's not authentic. You know, what's authentic is that you feel the success before you get it, so to speak. You feel the abundance before you have it. And that feeling puts out an energetic frequency that attracts like frequency. It's the law of attraction. So it's like when the native Indians did a rain dance. They weren't praying for rain because that's from a position of lack. And when you're in a position of lack, I lack money. I lack more time to do what I want. I lack a loving relationship. I lack anything. You're asking for more lack. And you're in this dark place. But when you learn to feel abundance, and so when the Indians danced, they were out, they were dancing in the rain, and it wasn't even raining. But that brought the rain, so to speak, that collective feeling. And so when we collectively get together, it's more powerful when we're a group of people collectively praying, collectively feeling abundance and joy and recovery and whatever it might be. As if it's happening now, it comes. So back in those dark times when I was, you know, out of work, so to speak, and stressing out a little bit, I had to learn to feel like I did when I had lots of work. You know, and when things were really thriving, and by staying in that vibration, everything bounces back. Think about how many people who have been in a wealthy position, for example, and lost everything, bounce back. And, you know, they bounce back because that's their frequency. That's their energy frequency. So one of the things the Course teaches is, how do I up my frequency, so to speak? I use the example of a radio channel. You know, there's all these different frequencies, all these different radio stations, if you will. Different. Every song has a frequency. And some songs I might like and other songs you might like, and we might not like the same thing. It's because the frequency of the song resonates with our frequency. The same thing with people. We might like certain people because there's a frequency connection, and others we don't. But when we learn to elevate our frequency to higher consciousness, to more awareness, to a more spiritual, inspirational frequency, we draw more of that in. And that's what happens with Jack McDonald in the story. He's that stressed guy in traffic that you described, and all of a sudden he learns to change the dial into something different. In fact, he literally does that in his car in one of the scenes.
Yes.
Get a second chance at life at any age. Turn your life around to be happy, successful, and fulfilled. It's an easy step-by-step process with Michael Clinton's new book, Roar Into the Second Half of Your Life. Reimagine yourself, own who you are, act on what's next, and reassess relationships, all to roar into the second half of your life, which is the name of the book. Get your copy of Roar Into the Second Half of Your Life by Michael Clinton at beyondword.com, amazon.com, or order it from any bookstore. Go ahead and roar. You deserve it.
Picture this. It's Saturday night and you want to watch a film. Not one of those violent blood and guts film, but one that makes you feel good or becomes spiritually aware or gives you information in a thought-provoking way. That's when you visit Beyond Words Publishing. They have these films. Get videos on demand, buy DVDs, or even get information on how to host a movie screening for your community. Visit beyondword.com and explore their videos and their new release, Cat People. Saturday night just got better. Beyondword.com.
Remember this name, Beyond Words Publishing. If you remember the best-selling book, The Secret, then you already know Beyond Words Publishing. For the last 36 years, they've been publishing the best metaphysical, spiritual, and self-help material. So here's the real secret. You always get the best books, audio, and film direct from Beyond Words Publishing. Visit their website, beyondword.com, or call 503-531-8700. They'll accept all major credit cards and PayPal. So visit beyondword.com. Everyone loves Oracle cards. They make great gifts for you or anyone, and I know where you can get the best ones. BeyondWord.com. These decks are created by top visionaries with beautiful, unique, original artwork. With over 20 beautiful card decks and easy-to-understand guidebooks from angels to spirit animals, there is certainly one deck or more that calls out to you. These visionary decks are fun, filled with wisdom, and can give you insight. So visit BeyondWord.com. Go to Products, Type, and click on Cards. It's so much fun. Do it now. BeyondWord.com.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
John, when you were talking about feelings and feeling the abundance before you see it and have it. And it reminded me, there was a point in time in our business 20-plus years ago where we needed to get to secure a loan, a large loan, SBA loan. And we applied to over 20 banks, and we kept getting turned down. And at some point, I just sat down with my partner and I said, we're good people. We do good work. What we're putting out is helping the world. It's allowing people to make a difference in their own lives if they so choose. And so we decided to just look at what we did and how good it was and feel it. And sure enough, a banker came in, I think he was the 24th banker, and when he looked at our bookshelf, he saw a book, and he said, "My wife just read that book. Did you publish that?" And I said, "Yes, we did." And he said, "And you did this one, and this one too? She has both of those." And at that moment, I knew, I could feel it, I knew that this was, we finally had achieved what we knew we deserved, and sure enough, he made the loan, and it was seamless, and from that point forward, we never looked back.
Yeah, that's a beautiful example, Richard. In fact, it makes me laugh, because when I started my company in 1988, I started it with two partners, lost both of them within 6 months, because it was just a very rough start, and they just said, I just can't hang. They were a bit older than me, with families and kids going into college even, and my kids were real. I had two of my four, and they were very young. And same thing, the banks were like, "Are you kidding me?" but as it turns out, my second client was a bank, because one of their senior leaders went to a workshop I created called Pulling Together. Came to the workshop, said, "Wow, this is great stuff. Can you come on site and train our leadership team and some others?" And I said, "Absolutely." And they said, "By the way, do you need money?" So that's just how things can open up.
It is very, very true. And I remember you just reminded me of something in my own life also, which is that when I started in publishing, I had a partner who was much older than I and much more experienced in publishing. And during the course of the first year that we worked together, he fell in love and he decided to leave. And I knew absolutely nothing about publishing. And I had raised a lot of money from banks and private individuals to help our company launch. And so I looked at it and I thought, well, I have responsibility here. I can't let all these people hang out and not get paid back. So we had created enough debt that I knew I couldn't get out of business. And so I learned what I needed to do, and we moved forward, and the first book we published became the best book in the world printed that year, and we never looked back.
Yeah, That's just beautiful. There you go. The miracles unfold right in front of us when we get out of our own way.
And that's something that, how do you teach people how to get out of their own way?
Well, the first thing you got to do is do some root cause analysis, and I demonstrate that through Jack in the story between him and his wife Judy, and they because they're challenged by George McKay, the coach, so to speak, to use a tool called the five whys. You ask five levels deep, why, anything's happening. And when you get to the fifth level, for every problem on the planet, you essentially get down to ignorance. We don't know any better. And that drives all kinds of problems. So one of the challenges is, why am I afraid? You start with that. And as Jack and Judy go through this exercise together, they get down to the root cause is an attachment to the ego thought system, which is the fear-based thought system. And why are they attached to that? Because they don't know any better. Isn't everybody, you know, afraid? Isn't everybody stressed? Isn't everybody, you know, in the same boat, basically? It's you know, human nature. And that's exactly right. Human nature is ego nature. It's not our true nature. Our true nature is spiritual. You know, we're all spirits in human bodies. We're not bodies that have occasional spirit experiences. There's another paradigm shift. So, you got to get to the root cause. And essentially, you know, Jack goes through the exercise, but the punchline is you're attached to this dualistic, fear-based thought system. And that expresses itself. I love the work of Dr. David Hawkins here, is because he created something called the map of consciousness. And the map of consciousness, Dr. Hawkins, the late Dr. Hawkins, actually calibrated, using applied kinesiology, the different frequencies of different feelings. And the lowest eight are all ego frequencies, and then you transition with courage, which is a stronger frequency, up into the realm of the spiritual frequencies. And so the lower frequencies, the lowest of all, is shame. So people who feel ashamed, they're drawing more shame into their life, and they live in a very dark place. And then there's guilt at following shame. And then apathy, a sense of worthlessness. I'm not deserving. I don't deserve better. I'm not worthy. And a lot of these things are programmed early in our life. Actually, within the first 6 years, we're downloaded, we're programmed with fear and doubt and shame and guilt and grief. Grief is the next one. So anytime you hear somebody grieving or having grievances, complaints about anything, you have to recognize that's really not me. That's the ego talking. And because we attach ourselves to ego, we think the ego is us. You know, well, that's just the way I am. That's just my personality. That's where we get in our own way. Because it's not us. It's a download. It's a programming. And you're just repeating a program. And the problem for us is that if you look at Dr. Bruce Lipton's work at all, 95% of our life, if not more, is run by the subconscious mind. So what we have downloaded, our habitual mind, as Wayne Dyer put it, is just replaying programs. And the subconscious mind has no choice but to be present, to be in the now. So that's why it's running our lives most of the time, because the conscious mind is usually not present. It's thinking about tomorrow, it's thinking about last week, mean to me last year. So the conscious mind is rarely present, and that's the free will, the conscious mind. And so if the free will says, well, I'm going to change this habit, I'm going to start exercising, I'm going to change my diet, I'm going to do this or that, if the subconscious mind or programming to say, no, you won't. You tried that 10 times, that didn't work for you. You're doomed. So the real secret to habit change is to identify what's going on in my subconscious mind, what programs am I running on, and learn to delete them. Hit the delete button. Here's another interesting statistic. Is the conscious mind can process approximately 40 bits of data per second. 40. You know what the subconscious mind can process? 40 million. It's a million to one ratio, Richard. So the subconscious mind is far more powerful than the tiny free will, if you will, the ego. So the whole idea here is to shift, to be more conscious in the now with the conscious mind, and to find those programs we're running on, which show up as tendencies. We can talk more about that. But the tendencies, and then what's behind the tendencies, and maybe use tools like the five whys to get down to that. And it really boils down to this attachment we have to the ego.
That sounds like something we should talk more about.
Everyone loves Oracle cards. They make great gifts for you or anyone, and I know where you can get the best ones. BeyondWord.com. These decks are created by top visionaries with beautiful, unique, original artwork. With over 20 beautiful card decks and easy-to-understand guidebooks from angels to spirit animals, there is certainly one deck or more that calls out to you. These visionary decks are fun, filled with wisdom, and can give you insight. So visit BeyondWord.com. Go to Product, Type, and click on Cards. It's so much fun. Do it now. BeyondWord.com. Get a second chance at life at any age. Turn your life around to be happy, successful, and fulfilled. It's an easy step-by-step process with Michael Clinton's new book, Roar Into the Second Half of Your Life. Reimagine yourself, own who you are, act on what's next, and reassess relationships, all to roar into the second half of your life, which is the name of the book. Get your copy of Roar Into the Second Half of Your Life by Michael Clinton at BeyondWord.com, Amazon.com, or order it from any bookstore. Go ahead and roar. You deserve it.
Picture this. It's Saturday night and you want to watch a film. Not one of those violent blood and guts film, but one that makes you feel good or become spiritually aware or gives you information in a thought-provoking way. That's when you visit Beyond Words Publishing. They have these films. Get videos on demand, buy DVDs, or even get information on how to host a movie screening for your community. Visit BeyondWord.com and explore their videos and their new release, Cat People. Saturday night just got better. BeyondWord.com.
Remember this name, Beyond Words Publishing. If you remember the best-selling book, The Secret, then you already know Beyond Words Publishing. For the last 36 years, they've been publishing the best metaphysical, spiritual, and self-help material. So here's the real secret. You always get the best books, audio, and film direct from Beyond Words Publishing. Visit their website, BeyondWord.com, or call 503-531-8700. They'll accept all major credit cards and PayPal. So visit BeyondWord.com.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.
So when you're talking about the being conscious in the now, and the tendencies that people have, can you elaborate a little more on that?
Sure. Well, I use the metaphor. You know, I was a competitive quarterback years ago in football, and I often use this as a metaphor for life, because when you walk up to the line of scrimmage to execute a play, you know, you have a play call, you have goals, you have a game plan, you have an overall strategy, you've studied your competition. You know what you want to happen. It's, you know, that's obvious. But the bottom line is, when that ball is snapped, you have no idea what's going to happen. There's so much uncertainty and unpredictability, and that's a metaphor for what happens when we get up in the morning. We might have goals and a strategy and a plan, and we know what we want to accomplish. But the world is, the future is uncertain. So the question then becomes, how do you approach the line of scrimmage? You approach it with anxiety and worry and doubt, you know, and stress. Because if you're a quarterback, you're doomed. Or do you approach the line of scrimmage with poise and grace and authentic trust in your team, and that we're gonna do this. And you don't know what's gonna happen, but you do have a choice over how you approach today and how you approach the line of scrimmage. Now, also imagine if you're not present, you know, and I always think about a golfer with this one. If you're not present on the shot you have right now, and you're upset because you duffed one three holes back, you're done. So the whole idea of this is to learn to be in the now. Dr. Soleil calls it the power of now. I call it the eternal now. It's always now. And so how are we feeling in the now? And that's triggered by what we're thinking. Because what we think impacts how we feel. And so we have to be mindful of our thoughts. And because so many of those thoughts are subconscious, we have to be very mindful of what's going on beneath the surface. And so one way to do that is to look at habits and tendencies. Do you have a habit or a tendency to get upset in certain situations? Do certain people annoy you? Do you get, what kinds of things upset you? And do a little root cause analysis to find out, why am I upset? And it boils down to your perception. And that's why a miracle, and of course a miracle is described as a correction of the mind, a shift in thinking. So that person who annoys you, and there's an example of that, as you know, in the story with Jack McDonald and Joe Mulligan, one of his direct reports. Jack is actually seeing in Joe some of the very same characteristics that he lives with, that he projects. In fact, his wife calls him out on it at one point because Jack comes home and he's complaining about Joe Mulligan. And Joe just is negative and he's a finger pointer and things like that. And Judy says, "But Jack, wasn't that what you're doing right now? You're pointing the finger at Joe and you're being negative." It shocked him a little bit, but that was a habit, a tendency that he had to wake up to. So you're absolutely right. And so what we're doing, Richard, is we are projecting ourselves onto the world. So anything buried in our subconscious mind, our tendencies, we're seeing them in the world all around us, which then gives us evidence that we're right, even when we're not. We see what we're looking for. So if we've got some negative, drama going on in our lives, then we're going to see negative drama all around us. And when we start to let go of that ego perspective and think differently, which is what I teach, in Miracle Minded Manager, the world changes all around us. And people start to find us a lot more attractive. I like the term magnetic. Jack just becomes magnetic. And people are scratching their heads going, what happened to him? And by the way, one has to also be conscious of the fact that when your vibration increases and you go from darker vibrations, ego frequencies like shame and guilt and grief and apathy and lust and lack and anger and jealousy and even pride. Pride divides us and them, win and lose. We get the courage. And then, then we transition with courage. We let go of ego and we move up into the realm of unconditional love and acceptance and forgiveness and peace of mind and joy. And when we're up there, in that frequency, a lot of doomsayers aren't going to like us anymore. misery loves company. And when we're not miserable anymore, people start to go, I don't know what happened to Jack, but he went off the deep end. And you have to be willing to accept that. Some of the things that you were attracted to in the past, which were like vibrations, so to speak, are no longer like vibrations. And they can lead to, I just can't be around this culture anymore, these people anymore. I don't feel, it's an energy thing. I just don't feel comfortable in that environment. It's time for me to move on.
It's interesting because my wife and I live in an HOA, and over the past 4 or 5 years, we've noticed that the energy there is toxic. It's just, people are fighting with each other and complaining, and nobody's happy about anything. And so we decided that we were going to sell our home just to get away from that, because we couldn't change it. But we can change ourselves and change the path that we're taking in life by moving to a different place.
Yeah, absolutely, Richard. But I also want to caution listeners to thinking that they immediately have to just cut bait and bail. because, again, A Course in Miracles is believed to be a channeling of Jesus. And Jesus did just the opposite. You know, he went into leprosy colonies and communities and where people were, quote, toxic, and brought light into these dark places. So I always approach it that way first. What can I do to bring light into some dark places? Because I go into a lot of very challenging cultures and business. And before I just say, you know, I just don't want to help these people. I just don't want to work here. You have to be careful, because that's the ego that it can step in and be selfish, so to speak. Having said that, you want to project your capital S self, your soul, and your capital S spirit. Because, by the way, the ego has very different definitions of that and things like love. So the ego's definition of love is falling in and out of love. Well, I used to love you. Now I don't. it's a love-hate thing. Unconditional capital L love is just that. It's unconditional. And the ego thinks the same thing about forgiveness. Well, you were wrong and I was right, but I forgive you, but I'll never forget. That's not forgiveness. Of course, the miracle teaches us that true forgiveness is actually letting it go to the point where it never happened. It's gone. It's in the past. The past is gone. Let it go. Move on. Be free. So, yeah, anything else you want to wrap up with, Richard?
Well, I think as we're coming to the end of our hour, I really want to thank you, John, so much for everything that you've given to our audience today. The wisdom that you've shared, it's an hour that I think everyone's going to want to listen to more than once. And you end your book with, our human experience is temporary, our spiritual existence is eternal. And I think everyone who has an opportunity will enjoy reading your book, Miracle-Minded Manager. Thank you,
yeah,
John.
Yeah, so too. Yeah, in fact, I've reread it myself, and I have to laugh, because it's got some pretty rich stuff in there, you know, a collection of learnings that I've had for decades.